Thank you, Robert. When last we talked with our distinguished guest today, it was Daniel Barenboim, pianist, and today it is Daniel Barenboim, conductor. Since the artist made his debut at the age of 7, he has been regarded as an outstanding talent, and when still in his teens, he was already known as a pianist of world class. Mr. Barenboim, if you pardon the slight vulgarism, when did the conducting bug bite you, and when did you first scratch it?
Well, I think I was born bugged. I've always really wanted to conduct. The bug really hit me hard. As we say, I was about 10, and I was in Salzburg at the time, and I was a very curious little boy, and nobody could really satisfy my curiosity, and I was in the Mozarteum, where they have all the summer classes, and I used to go into the singing classes and the string classes, and, you know, being, you know, a boy, nobody really minded, they all let me in and things. And one day I went into the conductor's class, and I never left.
You began to do your serious conducting sometime later, though.
Yes, sort of full-time since I was about 19.
And first you conducted orchestras, I think, in Australia, wasn't it? Melbourne,
yes,
Sydney?
Yes, I conducted, I did in Israel with the Haifa Orchestra and other small things, and in Australia, and then sort of gradually came back to the world.
I seem to recall that about 5 years ago, you took the Israel Philharmonic on tour, and you brought them also to Cleveland.
Right, correct.
Yes, you did a concert, I think, including the Beethoven Seventh downtown.
Right, your memory is very good.
Well, I don't know just when that was. In 1968, you made your Carnegie Hall debut with the visiting London Symphony. You jumped in at that time for a colleague. And since then, you've led many of the great orchestras of the world. I wonder, as an impertinent question, are you interested sometime in having an orchestra of your own, or do you prefer to travel in both capacities as pianist and conductor?
Well, I never, if I can help it, I never want to do one at the expense of the other. I don't want to leave the piano, and I don't want to stop conducting. And somehow I have to work it out every year in a way that, you know, I can do both. And this is the best I can, you know.
Quite an achievement to balance the two careers and have them both full steam.
Well, so far I have managed. I'm a wreck, but I've managed.
You don't look so. Is there any conflict of interpretation that you encounter when you play a concerto that you have yourself conducted for another soloist? Or in turn, if you conduct a work where you have played the solo part and you know it as well or better than the soloist, do you find your loyalty somehow divided?
Well, I must say I have been extremely fortunate with the pianists I have played with, conducted. I have conducted rather a lot for Rubinstein and Curzon, Ashkenazi, all, you know, Arau, all sorts of people. And I have always approached every concert with them with a very fresh and open mind, and I've always managed to learn something from it or not. And I was, I suppose, so busy trying to learn something from them that I never asked myself whether my loyalties were split or not. But I have never felt a clash. The only clash I feel is when I have played very often, as I do with the English Chamber Orchestra, where I conduct myself, and then, you know, I never see eye to eye between soloist and conductor.
Yes, I can imagine that this could occasionally make a problem if you get up and show the soloist how to do it.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of doing that. I wouldn't dream of doing that.
Not with the people you have mentioned, certainly. Clifford Curzon is artist with whom you will be appearing in Cleveland before
That's
long.
That's right.
Now, we know that you've recorded a very extensive piano repertoire, including the 32 Beethoven sonatas complete, and for somebody not yet 30, that's an especially remarkable achievement. What are your interests in the contemporary piano repertoire? I know you played with us the Bartok First Concerto last spring. Do you play much new music?
Not terribly much, I have to confess. I have played, I mean, you probably wouldn't call it that contemporary. I have played Schoenberg piano pieces, I've played Webern variations, I've played a lot of the chamber music of Webern and the Berg Sonata and other things like this. I've played rather a lot of Bartok. I must say I haven't been able to make myself believe that the piano is a percussive instrument. I have never been able to look at it that way, and therefore, with very few exceptions, I find the 20th century, middle 20th century piano music rather alien to my idea of the piano, and I'm perfectly aware that I'm the loser in that, but I mean, I can't help it.
But the Bartok First Concerto is the great exception.
Yes, well, that's such a masterpiece that, I mean, it. I don't think in that context it matters whether it's a percussive instrument or whether it's, you know, melodic or what it is. I mean, that's one of the most perfect piano concertos, I think.
Yes, I remember you mentioning this when you did it with us and Pierre Boulez some months ago, in 1970, rather. Powerful piece. Have you played the other two Bartok concertos?
I have played the third. I have recorded the third also with Boulez. I haven't played the second simply because I love the piece, but my hand is really too small. You need a very big stretch for that piece. And
that I must make problems for you in Brahms, who demands incredible
not
stretches.
Not really.
No?
Funny enough, no. No. I think I was born with tonal fingers.
That's a wonderful way to put it. Also, chamber music, you've played a great deal. Yes. Of course, with your wife, Jacqueline Dupré, you've played the Beethoven cello sonatas, probably the Brahms sonatas, and a lot of other chamber music. You enjoy this?
Very much, very much.
Good. In England, do you appear regularly as a chamber
music Well, we have
artist?
A trio with my wife and Pinchas Zuckerman. And we have played, you know, rather extensively as a trio and recorded, and I do that. And I do quite a number of concerts a year with Fischer Dieskau, singing leader, which I find.
Yes, you did at Carnegie Hall, yeah, I think, last year, a series.
That's right.
In the orchestral repertoire, as a final question, what are your major enthusiasms?
Mainly Bruckner. This
Good.
Is really the main, one of Mine the first too. Reasons why I started conducting, you know, very much of this is because I, you know, I loved the music and I wanted to do it. And of course, you know, from piano, there's nothing, there's no chamber music, nothing really. And you have to conduct if you want to do Bruckner. And I find the music gives me, I mean, don't ask me to explain that because I can't.
You don't
but
have
it,
to.
It gives me something which no other music does.
I share your enthusiasm, and next year when you come to the Cleveland Orchestra at Severance Hall, you will be doing the seventh, which
That's
is
right.
certainly the most accessible and beautiful of the lot, although some of the others you may personally
well, I'm
prefer.
I must say, I have no, you know, between the great ones, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 5, I have no great preference. I also do quite a lot of the choral music. I've recorded
the
also
masses
the F minor mass.
The sometime you must give us the fifth, which nobody ever does.
Hasn't that ever been played in Cleveland?
No, that's a great masterpiece.
Very difficult.
I know Mr. Sell used to espouse the ninth, and of course the eighth, which he has recorded. And we've had the fourth a number of times. But I always look forward to the seventh, which is the most euphonious of them all. Now, next season, you will be appearing for the first time as guest conductor at Severance Hall. You lead the orchestra in one concert, including the Bruckner Seventh, with Clifford Curzon as soloist. And then you take us to Carnegie Hall for two concerts. The first with Curzon, and the second with an artist whose name I don't
Radu Lupu, who is a very, very gifted Romanian pianist, who is really phenomenally gifted, is the best way I can put it. I heard him play in Europe, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. And this is the first time that he's playing with orchestra in New York, and I think in the future both you and I will look with great pleasure at having really participated with him in his first orchestral concert in New York, because he's quite an exceptional talent.
Well, that is something very much to look forward to, as well as, of course, your appearance at Severance Hall itself on the podium. Our time is a little short. It's been a great pleasure to talk with Daniel Barenboim, guest conductor in this concert. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Now back to Robert Conrad.